Thank you for joining me today. If this is your first time, or if you've only been listening for a short while, welcome. The entire God is Family is glad you're here, and we are just at the start of a very important discussion over the next 6 weeks or so in preparation for Resurrection Day, you may call it Easter, on the humiliation of Christ found in his suffering and his death. During this time, we will be reading, and I'll be teaching in Matthew, and our starting point is Matthew chapter 26. When we left off last time, I had read this for us, and I want to do so again so that we're all on the same page. So at that page in your Bible where you find Matthew chapter 26, follow along as I read verses 1 through 16. When Jesus had finished all these words, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man is to be handed over for crucifixion." Then the chief priests and the elders of the people were gathered together in the court of the high priest named Caiaphas, and they plotted together to seize Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they were saying, "Not during the festival, otherwise a riot might occur among the people." Now when Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster vial of very costly perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' head as he reclined at the table. But the disciples were indignant when they saw this and said, "Why this waste? For this perfume might have been sold for a high price and the money given to the poor." But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why do you bother the woman? For she has done a good deed to me. For you always will have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. For when she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken of in memory of her." Then one of the 12, named Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me to betray him to you?" And they weighed out 30 pieces of silver to Judas. From then on, Judas began looking for a good opportunity to betray Jesus. This is God's word to us in Matthew chapter 26. And this comes at a critical juncture in Matthew because, beginning here in chapter 26, the clear focus of the life of Christ comes. Death by crucifixion on the cross. Jesus is to die on Passover. This is intentional and significant, so we shall come to the meaning of Passover and Jesus' death in due course. But for now, what you need to know is that Matthew's guiding us into the end of Jesus' earthly life. You heard me read verse 2. Jesus' words to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man is to be handed over for crucifixion." And as we have learned previously, Son of Man is Jesus. Meanwhile, in verses 3 to 5, we meet again the enemies of Jesus. We're pulled inside the plot to seize Jesus by stealth and kill him. And who are these people who want the Lord dead? Let's meet them. They are the chief priests, then the elders of the people, and the high priest, and his name specifically, Caiaphas. I'd like you to circle his name in your Bible because I will spend the most time telling you about him. But first, let me take these people in order and tell you quickly about the chief priests and elders. It's easiest if you think of them this way. The chief priests represented the wealthy and influential religious leaders, and the elders represented the wealthy and influential lay leaders of the Jewish religion, according to historians and Bible commentators. Sometimes, unfortunately, we have this in Christianity as well. We've got a group of wealthy and influential pastors, the equivalent of religious leaders, that get together with a group of wealthy and influential elders, deacons, trustees, the church council, the equivalent of the Jewish elders. And each of these folks represents other wealthy and influential leaders. Whenever this happens, the outcome of such a gathering is usually not good. It's almost never good at all. And certainly that is the case in Matthew 26, verses 3 through 5, because their plotting here is for nefarious ends. Then the chief priests and the elders of the people were gathered together in the court of the high priest named Caiaphas, and they plotted together to seize Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they were saying, "Not during the festival, otherwise a riot might occur among the people." What a conniving group of men these are. They're shrewd, because in verse 5, they say to one another, not during the festival, otherwise a riot might occur among the people. Jesus had grown in immense popularity, with the Jews now flooding Jerusalem for the Jewish Passover. The Passover is the festival mentioned in verse 5. There were likely more than 2 million Jews in the city of Jerusalem at this time, a huge number of them coming from outside the city. And many of these were from the Galilee region, where Jesus had done most of his earthly ministry of teaching, of calling people to follow him in repentance of sin, and of providing many, many miracles. The chief priests and the elders, along with the high priest, Caiaphas, didn't want this many of Jesus' followers rising up against them, so they only planned to take Jesus by stealth, says Matthew. In other words, arrest Jesus quietly, in the dead of the night, without the mass of people knowing it, hold Jesus, and then after Passover ends and many of the Jews leave Jerusalem, head back to their homes, well, the religious and lay leaders will then kill Jesus. This was their plot. This was their plan. Ah, but God had other plans, as we shall soon read. You know, it has never mattered what the plans of Jesus' enemies were, or are, or will be. God is in charge. God is sovereign. And God determined when Jesus would die, down to the tiniest and most minute detail. We'll read about it, friends. Stick with me in the Gospel of Matthew. But let's talk today about this man, the Jewish high priest, Caiaphas. The most basic truth you need to know about Caiaphas was that he was a Christ killer. In your mind, mark this down. Caiaphas, the Christ killer. As the Bible so clearly shows us, he is one of the people most responsible for the death of Jesus. He despised Christ to the width and depth of his being, and he was hell-bent on killing our Lord. And so it makes perfect sense that he drew to himself and his court the chief priests and elders, who also desperately wanted to take Jesus' life away from him. Birds of a feather do flock together, and we find them conspiring together. If you miss everything else I'm going to tell you about him, get this. Caiaphas, the Christ killer. But what drove this hatred for Jesus? Let's summarize it with two P's, position and power. His position, his occupation was high priest, and with that came, second word, power. And so because of his position and his power, Caiaphas assessed Jesus as a threat to Caiaphas, holding on to both his position and therefore his power. And you know how it goes in the large majority of cases when someone with position and power feels threatened. Yes, they'll kill for it. They'll kill to keep it. In Caiaphas' case, he literally will murder. Now let me talk with you about his position, that of being the high priest. I'm not going to take the time to go back into the Old Testament and give you the detailed commands of God regarding the high priest, or how previous high priests functioned, except to say that he was to come from the Levitical line, and he alone was given the paramount responsibility of entering the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement in the temple to offer sacrifice for sin. This is a salient position. But there were two problems Caiaphas faced in getting this coveted post. First, Caiaphas needs to prove to the Jewish people that he belongs in some measure to the genealogy of Levi, the high priest, required to come from Levitical heritage. And he achieves this by marrying the daughter of a man named Annas, who also served as the high priest. In fact, Annas was the high priest just prior to Caiaphas. Luke chapter 3 and verse 2 actually tells us that Annas and Caiaphas, now father and son-in-law, served together for a period of time. This is Luke chapter 3 and verse 2. In the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John. So this one problem is solved. By marrying Annas' daughter, Caiaphas is in with the Jews. But there lingers a second challenge to him getting his coveted position. And that problem comes from the Romans. At this time in Jerusalem, the Romans were in charge. And so this man Caiaphas had to be quite the politician as well. Horrifyingly, at the time we're reading about in Matthew, the Romans were bestowing the high priesthood on men as political favors. So, as you can tell, the high priest is no longer serving with the purposes of God in mind. rather of sinful, evil men. And Caiaphas must have been quite the successful politician because he was in this position as high priest for 18 years, which is an unprecedented period of time. Historians say his successor lasted only 50 days. 18 years is like forever. This ambitious man successfully navigated his way into the position of high priest, and with it came great power. In his wretched sin, Caiaphas turned his position into his power, and this made him clash with Jesus. Perhaps I can crystallize this in your mind with an example. Caiaphas had used his position to gain power and then used both of those to make himself profitable as well. Position and power mean profit. Caiaphas turned the temple into a marketplace where he took a large cut of the dirty money that was made there. That was going along great until Jesus came. Remember when Jesus, in righteous anger, threw out the money changers from the temple? You can read about that in Matthew chapter 21 and John chapter 2. Matthew 21 and John 2. Well, when Jesus did that, you see, he was fiddling with Caiaphas's money, and the high priest didn't like that very much, so Caiaphas became enraged with Jesus. He really hated Jesus thoroughly and completely. Tomorrow, I want to show you, right here in the Bible, more of just how Caiaphas hated Jesus and how he vented his anger directly at the Lord. And I'll also apply this to our lives. Believe me, there are serious lessons to be learned from Caiaphas, the Christ killer. And we'll discuss those tomorrow, and then we'll continue this into Thursday and Friday as well. We'll do so as together we continue to learn in this season, leading us right to Resurrection Day, who God is.